It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome one and all. I see we're all here and assembled and ready to listen to some more great old-time radio, and we're not going to disappoint you this week. We're going to start off with Big Town and a program called Final Payment from 1948. We're going to slip right over to Counter Spy and the Hot Car Killer, and we'll wrap it up with some more comedy with Duffy's Tavern from 1951 and Archie the Hypnotist. But right now it's time for the big newspaper story of the day, Final Payment.
Lifebuoy Health Soap presents Big Town.
Extra, extra, hear all about the final payment. Steve Wilson's headline story, brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap. The soap that gets skin cleaner in your daily bath. Extra, extra.
Yes, Lifebuoy Health Soap presents Big Town, the headline stories of a great city, dramatically reported by Steve Wilson, fighting managing editor, whose creed, as with all great newsmen, is emblazoned on the masthead of the Illustrated Press.
The power and the freedom of the press is a flaming sword, but it may be a servant of all the people. Use it justly, hold it high, and guard it well.
Now, Big Town, and tonight's story of a vicious racket of modern ghouls, trading on tragedy and sorrow, the final payment. No sensational headline yarn for Steve Wilson and his Illustrated Press. This story of a vicious, widespread, but little publicized racket began in a cheap rooming house headquarters of Malcolm Todd and his embittered, red-headed accomplice, Ginger. Began one evening not long ago.
Well, so you got back, Ginger. Congratulations.
Lay off the sarcasm, Mel. I've covered every pawn shop in this section of Big Town and my feet hurt.
How many watches did you get?
About a dozen, but I had to pay $5 for some of them.
Okay, okay. We'll still make a slick profit once I get the initials of today's crop of deadens cut on the back.
Look, Mel, I'm getting sick of this peanut racket. Rooking the relatives of a lot of dopes that ain't even been buried yet.
I told you it's just till we get a stake, get organized, and go big time, line up a mob, work with a real racket.
Yeah, that's what you said in Chicago 6 months ago. But things got hot and we had to beat it. And the same thing happened in Cleveland.
Well, it ain't gonna happen in Big Town. We're gonna make a killing as soon as we can line up with a real racket.
So why don't we get right into some racket that pays off in something more than three squares and bus fare to the next town when the local flats start breathing down our
heads? I keep telling you, Ginger, it's only till we can hook up with some local mob that's got connections and protection. Now quit beefing and pack up them watches.
Yeah, sure. We gotta catch the widows and relatives and collect for the handsomely initialed watches. Well, I'm sick of it. Fed up.
Oh, shut up and get to work. That kind of attitude ain't going to get you diamonds and mink coats.
At the rate we're going, I'll end up with one of these two-buck watches.
What?
I'm sick of you and your schemes. I'm fed up.
Don't start throwing things, baby. Listen to me.
Matt, you hurt my arm. Let go. I'm pulling out.
Oh, no, you're not. Hold still, baby, and listen.
They hurt my throat. Let go.
Shut up and listen. I want to show you something. Something you don't ever want to forget.
Matt, what are you doing with that gun? You promised you'd quit carrying a gun after what happened in L.A., that cop.
Forget that cop. You're liable to find out if you try pulling out on me.
Oh, don't be kidding, Mel, honestly.
Don't ever try it, baby.
Mel, let go of my throat, I won't.
All right. Don't ever try to pull out and cross me up with another guy or I'll blast you both.
I won't, Mel, I won't.
Oh, good. Now go wash the mascara off your face and go out and get the early edition of the Illustrated Press.
The Illustrated Press?
Yeah, it's the top sheet in this town. They have the best obituary column, the best list of suckers. Now get going, honey. The dead don't like to be kept waiting.
Hello, Steve. You got a minute to spare?
Hello, Marla. It could be. What's furrowing your lovely brow this beautiful afternoon?
I think I've dug up the meanest racket in the world.
Well, which one? There's several running neck and neck for that title.
Ever hear of poor box looters and those who steal pennies off the eyes of the dead?
Oh, yes. Among others.
Well, this racket puts those human benefactors in the shade.
Okay, let's have it, Laura.
There are a couple of modern grave robbers working a post-mortem delivery of junky watches on the relatives of people who have just died.
Uh-oh, the old obituary racket.
Right. They get their list of prospects from the obituary columns of the newspapers.
Yes, Lorelei. In one form or another, it's been going on for years. The crooks deliver cars, jewelry, portraits, usually worthless junk, they claim the deceased member of the family ordered before he died.
This time, it's cheap watches with initials carved on the backs. Price $20 in the case I ran into.
How'd you pick up the lead? Police headquarters?
No, I was over in the factory district getting the story on a man who was killed in a hit-and-run accident. The man's wife told me the story and showed me the watch.
Had she reported the matter to the police?
No, she said she was sure her husband never ordered the watch, but the man who delivered it threatened to sue, so she gave him the money.
Yes, they generally pay without question or protest.
Oh, Steve, it was awful the way she sat holding that cheap watch, her fingers touching the initials cut in the back. Knowing she'd been cheated, feeling so helpless, and yet accepting it as part of the greater tragedy that had come to her.
Well, these petty crooks know it's easy to work their dirty racket on the people in the depths of misery and despair.
And because they don't rate front page headlines, nobody bothers. Nobody cares to read about it.
You're wrong, Lorelei. Millions suffer from the petty rackets. The very ones who can least afford to lose the little they have. Besides, this type of filthy gyp is a training school for the big time rackets.
Is there anything we can do about this one, Steve?
Yes, did you get any lead? A good description of the man who delivered the watch?
No. The poor woman was so upset she couldn't recall what he looked like. She thought he was tall and dark complexion.
Well, I'm afraid that's no help.
It'd be like looking for a needle in a haystack, even if we followed up on every obituary notice in the press.
Yes, that's the... Hold it. Huh? Lorelei, you've given me an idea. How would you like to be a widow?
Hey, not so fast, Steve. You might at least find me a suitable husband before you make me a widow.
Well, for this job, we can skip the formality. Here, find yourself a furnished apartment in the want ad section.
Hey, what have I talked myself into?
A handsomely initialed watch, ordered by your late husband, I hope.
Light begins to dawn. I'm the come-on.
Yes, pick a moderate price furnished apartment in the factory district and get over there and rent it before it's taken.
Here's one at 20 Pine Street.
Pick a name, Lorelei. Smith? Brown? Jones?
I'll take Jones. Lorelei Jones.
Yeah, Mac, the Obit.
Hello, Mac. Steve Wilson.
Oh, Mr. Wilson, what can I do for you?
I want you to insert a death notice, Mac.
Hey, Mr. Wilson, sorry. Friend or relative of yours?
No, an imaginary character called Jones. Henry Jones, Mac. We're baiting a trap for a modern gravedigger.
Oh,
Robert.
Catch. Henry Jones.
Survived by his wife, Lorelei Jones.
Lorelei? You mean our Lorelei?
Check. It's all very sudden, Mac.
Anything else?
Have the notice set up, but hold it until Lorelei's rented an apartment and phones in the address.
It's as good as done, Mr. Wilson.
Thanks, Mac.
Do I dress the part, Steve?
No, you'll do as you are, but hide that $20 hat.
On my salary? Huh, I made it myself.
I'll hide it anyway, and on your way to your new address, you better stop at your place and pack an overnight bag, Lorelei.
Okay.
And when you get a flat, phone Mac, the Obit, and give him the address.
Right. Well, how long do you think it'll be before this slimy character appears?
Well, if he sees the Obit and takes the bait at all, he'll show up sometime tomorrow morning.
What do I do, call for the law?
No, Lorelei, these rats can be as mean and vicious as their racket. Just tell him you want whatever your late husband ordered, but you're having the money.
Mm-hmm.
Say you'll have to get it from your brother and ask him to come back in an hour.
Then what?
Well, then phone me here at the office and I'll be right over.
Okay, brother.
Right. And I'll be there when he comes back.
Can I kick him just once when you grab him?
Nothing doing, Lorelei. Like four-legged rats, the Obit operators seldom hunt their victims alone. We want all of them before we spring the trap.
Thus, Steve Wilson, fighting editor and champion of the helpless and the victimized, has set a trap for the vicious racketeers preying upon the poor and distressed. In a moment, we'll rejoin Steve and Lorelei as they carry out their plan to entrap these modern public enemies.
Extra, extra hero, all about it. Doctor's amazing report. Life boy gets skin cleaner. Hear all about it.
Pardon me, but did that boy say Life Boy health soap gets skin cleaner?
That's right, miss. Life Boy gets skin cleaner in your daily bath than any other leading soap.
And doctors have proved it?
Oh, yes, indeed. And not just once, but time after time. These doctors found in 820 scientific tests that Life Boy gets skin cleaner, stops B.O. as no other leading soap can.
Now, wait a minute. Won't any soap get you clean?
No, all soaps aren't the same. Any soap will remove all the grime and perspiration you can see. But it's the invisible dirt, doctors say, that may form a foothold for B.O. So be on guard. Remember, Lifebuoy gets skin cleaner than any other leading soap. Gives lasting after-bath protection 24 hours a day.
But how does Lifebuoy do it?
Well, doctors say Lifebuoy's purifying ingredient makes the difference. And this same purifying ingredient actually makes Lifebuoy milder. Safe even for a baby's tender skin. So bathe daily with Lifebuoy. Refreshing, mild. Lifebuoy gets skin cleaner. Get Lifebuoy right away. Now, back to Big Town and tonight's story of a vicious racket, the final payment. Learning that an obituary racket is being worked in Big Town, Steve has set a trap by having Lorelei Kilburn rent a furnished flat and pose as the widow of a worker whose fictitious death was announced in the obituary columns of the Illustrated Press. Now, the following day, we find Lorelei in an apartment on Pine Street, phoning Steve as she waits for the racketeers to come and take the bait.
Hello? Hello, Illustrated Press? Steve Wilson, please. Lorelei Kilburn calling.
Hello, Steve Wilson.
Oh, hello, Steve. It's Lorelei.
Have the chisel shown up yet?
No, and it's 3 o'clock. The death notice has been out almost 24 hours. I'm afraid we've drawn a blank.
Well, stick it a few more hours, Lorelei. It takes these racketeers time to mark initials on their junk, and they may have other deliveries to make.
All right, Steve, but I'd hate to spend another night in this place.
What's the matter, my lovely?
Rats. Four-legged.
Say, where are you phoning from, the hall?
No, the apartment. The former occupant had a phone, and it hasn't been disconnected.
Well, that's a break. Call me back if and after our man shows.
All right, I will. And incidentally, don't you trust me, Steve?
What do you mean, Lorelei?
There's been a man sitting on a stool in a bar and grill across the street watching this house all day.
Probably a barfly student of human nature.
Mm-hmm. His name couldn't be Harry the Hack, unofficial chauffeur and bodyguard of the Illustrated Press staff, could it, Steve?
Very observant, Lorelei. You're also a very good reporter, and I'm not taking any chances.
Thanks, Steve, but hold it. I've got to call her.
Okay, hang up. Go in your act and make it good. If it's the man we're after, do just as I told you, and don't write yourself an obituary.
Right, Steve, I'll play it straight, and I'll call you back as soon as he leaves. Yes. Yes, just a moment, please. Who is it?
Package for Mr. Henry Jones.
Oh, a package? Just a minute, please.
Good afternoon. Mr. Jones in?
Well, Henry, my husband died only yesterday.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, ma'am.
Yes, it was very sudden.
Well, maybe that's the best way to go, ma'am. But now about this package.
Oh, yes, you said you had a package for Henry. I'll take it.
Fine. I guess you'll want it to remember him by. It's a watch he ordered.
A watch?
Yeah. We'd have been able to deliver it sooner, but he wanted his initials on it. There's a COD charge for
$20. $20?
Yeah, $20.
But Henry didn't tell me anything about ordering a watch.
Maybe he was going to surprise you.
Well, maybe, but could I see it?
Sure. Here you are. But I can't leave it without the $20, lady.
Oh, I understand. It doesn't look like a very good watch.
I don't know anything about that, lady. All I know is your husband ordered it. Had us put his initials on it. And that spoils it for anybody else. So we have to collect the $20.
But I don't have $20 in the house. You see, there have been so many expenses.
How soon can you get it?
Well, I'm expecting my brother. I guess I could get it from him. Could you come back in an hour?
I don't know. I've got a couple of more deliveries to make.
Well, could I come to your shop and pick it up this evening?
No, no. I'll be back in an hour. If I can't make it, I'll send one of my assistants.
All right. You come back, and I'll have the money ready for you.
Good. You do that, and we won't have to turn the matter over to our collection agency. So long, Mrs. Jones. See you later.
I'll say you will, you scum of the earth.
Lorelei. Lorelei.
Oh, Steve, come in. What kept you? It's almost time for that human leech to come back.
Oh, I stopped across the street to tell Harry to be in his hack and ready to roll.
Oh, good. How are we going to handle this big rat when he shows?
Well, just how big is he?
Yeah, I can spot you 4 inches and 20 pounds, but I'm not sure he'll be back in person.
Well, I hope you didn't scare him off.
He isn't the type that scares easy when there's cash in prospect, but I think he may send an assistant.
Well, it doesn't matter. The assistant will lead us to their headquarters, Lila.
Well, what'll I say this time?
Now, when the bell rings, you're going to be grief-stricken. I'll handle this.
Okay, Brother Steve, the pleasure is all yours. Last time it made me sick to my stomach listening to that leech pull his rotten routine.
Okay, Lila, I go in the other room and leave this to me. I'm going to try an act of my own.
Well, restrain your impulse to smash his face in.
I'll try to do that, Lila. Oh, good afternoon. Well, hello, Red.
Well, hello, big boy.
Sorry, I'm afraid you have the wrong apartment, sister.
I don't think so. Mrs. Henry Jones lives here, don't she?
Why, yes.
You must be the brother she was going to borrow $20 from that left the COD on this watch her husband ordered before he died.
Oh, yes. I got the money for you. Right here.
Thanks. Hope you don't mind if I count it, Hanson.
Not at all. But I want to have a talk with you, Red.
What about?
About your boss.
How come?
I might have something that would interest him.
Oh, yeah? Just a minute, my boss don't like to get shortchanged.
Oh, smart boss.
Nice fresh bills right out of the mint.
That's right. Now, if you give me the watch, I'll give it to my sister. She's lying down. It's been pretty much of a shock.
Yeah. But she's lucky having a smooth guy like you around. Must be quite a comfort.
Oh, thanks for the compliment, but what happened to your boss? I thought he was coming back.
He had some deliveries to make across town. And they're my glad. You wouldn't be going my way, would you?
Could be, Red. Well, I got to talk to my sister first. I've been waiting for me downstairs.
I got a better idea. I'll wait for you in the bar and grill across the street. The name's Ginger.
Okay, Ginger. See you in a few minutes.
Don't keep me waiting, brother.
Don't worry. I won't.
Well, Hanson, you certainly did all right on short notice.
Now, don't jump to conclusions, my lovely.
You don't have to jump at those kinds of conclusions. They just run you down.
Okay, okay, but this changes our plan of action, Marlene.
Obviously. What assignment have you thought of to get rid of me?
Now, don't tell me you're jealous.
Don't flatter yourself, brother. Okay, see, Steve, seriously, what was the purpose in that quick play-up to that curvaceous cutie with the 4-alarm tresses?
I think I can persuade her to lead me right to her boss, Lila.
What do I do while she's doing that?
I want you to get out of here, get in Harry's hack, and follow us wherever we go when we leave that bar and grill.
So far, easy.
And when I give you the high sign, I want you to go to the nearest police station and tell them what's up.
And invite them to a handcuff party?
Yes, on the double.
You're okay, big boy. What's your name?
Steve. Steve Wilson.
What's your racket, Steve?
I haven't a racket of my own, Ginger.
Don't give me that, Steve. You got dough and you got brains, so you gotta have a racket.
Oh, I work for a big organization.
Oh, I get it. A big time mob.
Well, I wouldn't care to have it called a mob. But what about this boyfriend of yours?
He ain't my boyfriend. I've just been stringing along, getting nothing but promises. And from where I sit, it looks like he ain't never going to get nowhere.
Yeah, there ain't much future in selling junky watches, even if he puts initials on $2 tickers and CODs them for $20.
Hey, you're wise to the racket.
Oh, sure, I cut my eye teeth on it.
Well, then how come you give me the $20 without a squawk?
Because I want to meet your boss.
What for?
Well, maybe I'll put him in line for something big.
How do I know you're on the level?
I'm not on the level. How about taking me to meet your boss?
He'd beat my ears off if I brought you to the joint we're using as headquarters while we're working big time.
I thought you said he wasn't your boyfriend.
He ain't, but he's crazy jealous. And if he thought I was interested in another fella, there's no telling what he's liable to do.
Oh, okay. There's nothing to keep me from following you home, is there?
No. No, there ain't. You look like you could take care of yourself. But if you do, you better watch out for Mal.
What last name is he using this season?
Mal Todd, and you watch out. He carries a rod in his suitcase, and I happen to know he's used it more than once.
Oh, thanks for the tip, Ginger. I think Todd will listen to my proposition.
He wants to tie up with some local mob that's got organization and protection. Maybe he'll listen. But, you got a rod just...
Gun.
Gee. Then you are a big shot, Steve. Where's your bodyguard?
Outside. A taxi parked down the street.
Gee, fancy me bumping into a guy like you. Am I lucky?
Well, on the other hand, I might be a plainclothes cop.
Nah, you ain't the type.
Okay, well, now that we understand each other, suppose you finish your drink and go to Todd's place.
Okay. And you're gonna trail along?
Like your shadow.
Okay. And Steve?
Yeah, Ginger?
In case you should find Mal Todd don't want to play along with you, it won't break my heart if you have to rub him out.
Yeah? That you, Ginger?
Yeah, Mal. Let me in quick.
What's lathering you?
Close the door. Lock it.
Okay. It's locked. What's the matter? What capture?
A guy's following me.
Guys are always following you.
It's the brother of the dame we hooked.
That Mrs. Jones?
Yeah.
So what? Did you get the $20?
Yeah, he gave it to me.
Okay, hand it over.
Can't I keep a fiver?
I'll give you a couple of bucks tomorrow. What about this guy? Did he squawk?
No. He bought me a drink and tried to get the lowdown on you.
On me? Copper, maybe.
No, I can whip a cop a mile. Talks like he's got some kind of racket. Wants to talk to you.
What about?
I don't know. He wouldn't tell me.
Listen, you two-timing little twist, if this is a double cross.
Mal, you're hurting my arm.
Sometimes I think I ought to break your neck. What'd you tell this local wiseacre?
Nothing, Mal, honest. And I tried to shake him, but I couldn't. He followed me all the way here.
Oh, he did. It ain't okay. If he wants to talk, we'll see what he's got to say.
Mal, you hadn't ought to carry that gun on you. Real big shots hardly ever carry guns.
This is one of them hardly ever times, Sugar Puss.
Mal.
Huh?
I think he's out in the hall.
Okay, let's see what he wants.
Good evening, brother. Hello, Todd. You mind if I come in?
No. Come in. Come on in, wise guy. And we'll make you feel right at home.
Thus, Steve Wilson, in an effort to trap two vicious crooks working an obituary racket in Big Town, has walked into their hideout, while Lorelei goes to summon the police. In a moment, we'll come to the exciting climax of tonight's story, brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap. Amazing, sensational, almost unbelievable, I know. But doctors have proved it, not just once, but time after time. In hundreds of scientific tests, these doctors found that Lifebuoy Health Soap, with its purifying ingredient, gets skin cleaner in your daily bath. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. The cleaner you get your skin, these doctors found, the safer you are from B.O. So be on guard. Remember, Lifebuoy gets skin cleaner than any other leading soap. Gives lasting after-bath protection 24 hours a day. Yes, bathe daily with Lifebuoy. Refreshing, mild. Lifebuoy gets skin cleaner. Get Lifebuoy right away. Back to Big Town and tonight's headline drama, The Final Payment. Posing as a local racketeer, Steve Wilson has followed the woman accomplice of a petty crook to their hideout. But double-crossed by the girl, Steve is admitted at the point of a gun.
Come on in, fella. I've been hearing about you.
Thanks. I hope I'm not interrupting anything unimportant. And put away that gun.
Never mind the gun. Don't forget I got it, smart guy. Sit down. Make yourself comfortable.
No, thanks. Looks like the chairs are falling apart.
Suit yourself. Ginger tells me you've been pumping her about our little obit racket.
Oh, nice going, Ginger. I thought you weren't going to tell your pal Todd. We had a little talk.
That's what I wanted you to think.
Ginger would double-cross her own grandmother, but she knows better than to pull a fast one on me.
Oh, that must be a comforting thought while it lasts.
Okay, wise guy. What do you want?
I want to size you up before I make you a proposition, Todd.
What's the name?
My name's Wilson. Steve Wilson.
What's the proposition?
It's a proposition that'll save you wearing out shoe leather trying to make a living by rooking grief-stricken relatives out of their hard-earned cash, paying for junk watches no one ordered.
Okay. Your wife's the racket. How come you forked over this $20?
Because I expect to get it back.
With interest.
Yeah?
Frisk this, Monkey Ginger.
Let's see if we can place him from what he's got on him.
You won't find a gun.
He said he never carried no gun, Mal. He's clean.
Yes, remember what else I told you, Ginger?
Yeah. Mal, you better go easy. He acts like a big-timer, and he's got a bodyguard that trailed us all the way here.
Yeah, why don't you tell me that?
Well, I forgot.
What else do you forget? What is this, a frame?
I'm just looking after myself, that's all.
Well, Ginger wouldn't double-cross you, Todd. You just finished saying so.
She won't do it but once. Come on, Ginger, give out. What's the angles on this screwy setup?
I don't know, and I don't much care. Would I ever get out of stringing along with a small-time punk like you?
More than you ever got out of that five-a-day routine in that tank town burlesque.
In a pig's eye. Anyway, I wasn't always ducking cops. Getting the bum's rush from the local hoods. I'm fed up. I've had enough, and I'm getting out while the getting's good.
You better stick around, Ginger. Maybe Todd and I can make a deal and go places.
Like nothing. I thought maybe you was somebody, but you let this tin horn push you around like he was a big shot.
Stay put, Ginger. You ain't taking a powder on me for this guy or anybody else.
Like nothing, I ain't. I know when I've had enough.
Don't unlock that door, Ginger. I told you you'd never walk out on me.
I heard you say it plenty of times.
I meant it then, I'm telling you now.
Now, don't be a fool, Todd. The chair's the payoff for trigger play.
Shut up, Wilson. Come back here, sugar puss, or so help me, I'll let you have it.
Don't tempt him, Red.
He ain't got the nerve. So long, small Todd.
So long, you two-timing little tramp.
Duck, Ginger.
Kill her. Kill her.
Not shooting into the ceiling, you won't. Okay, Todd. Sleep that one off. Are you all right, Red?
Yeah, he missed me, and you're okay. I thought you was just another four-flusher, but you're okay, and you and me can really go places.
Sorry, Ginger. Your cross and double cross has left you right where you started. Long ago.
The cops. And you're one of them.
No, Ginger. Just a newspaper man who doesn't like to see a lot of poor and distressed people being pushed around.
Dee, you all right? I heard a couple of shots.
Right as rain, Lorelei. Tell the law to come in and collect a couple of practitioners of one of the meanest rackets on the book.
Well, they just pulled up outside. Well, how did you manage this, Steve?
I suppose this Dave is that bodyguard you was talking about.
Uh-huh. But we're thinking of getting him a keeper any day now.
Okay, Lorelei, spare the rib. Get on the phone. Get the story to Fletch on the final.
Right, Steve. The capture of this pair should help break up the obituary racket in Big Town.
Yes, Lorelei, and serve as a warning to other migratory leeches preying on the helpless and the distressed.
So ended another skirmish in the endless battle of the war on crime. Another win in the career of Fighting Steve Wilson and his staff of the Illustrated Press. Now, before telling you about next week's dramatic Big Town story, here is Lorelei Kilbourne.
Friends, this is Lorelei Kilbourne. I'd just like to say how nice it is to be back in these Big Town adventures. And it's especially nice to be working for such a fine sponsor as Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lifebuoy Health Soap. Like millions of other Americans, I've been a Lifebuoy fan for years. I like the lather, I like the mildness. I've seen the proof of its quality and its wonderful effects. I know you'll like Lifebuoy, too. And we're all looking forward to next Tuesday night and many Tuesday nights to come. Thank you for welcoming us into your home. Thank you, and good night.
Next week, the makers of Lifebuoy bring you The Trap, a hard-hitting story of a dead man's revenge on his enemies. Another exciting assignment in the newspaper career of Fighting Steve Wilson of Big Town. Don't miss it. In tonight's dramatization, all names, times, and places are fictional, and any similarity to other names and places is purely coincidental. Big Town features Edward Pauley as Steve Wilson, Fran Carlin as Lorelei Kilbourne, and was written and directed by Jerry McGill. And now, Big Town bids you good night until next Tuesday night, same time, same station, when you'll hear the newsboy calling...
Extra, extra, hear all about it. The story of Steve Wilson and Big Town brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap, another fine Lever product. Extra, extra.
New Rinso with Solium puts sunshine in your wash. Rain or shine, new Rinso with Solium gives your wash a new brilliance you've never seen before. You can dry clothes anywhere, and white clothes will turn out actually whiter than brand new, and washable colors brighter than brand new. It's because new Rinso contains the scientific sunlight ingredient, Solium. No other soap contains Solium, only new Rinso. It's so safe for clothes, so kind to hands. Find out about the amazing new brilliance of Rinso washed clothes. Find out how new Rinso with Solium puts sunshine in your wash. Get Rinso right away.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Lifebuoy's health soap, always guarding against B.O. So you got to go down and buy. I think you can still get that stuff in the store. I'll check it out and see how it works. It is time for Counter Spy, and it's going to be about hot car killers. It's from 9:15-49, and it's going to start right about here.
Pepsi-Cola, P-E-P-S-I, that's your smartest cola buy. Pepsi-Cola presents Counter Spy.
Washington calling David Harding, Counter Spy. Washington calling David Harding, Counter Spy.
Harding, counter spy, calling Washington.
United States counter spies, especially appointed to investigate and combat the enemies of our country, both at home and abroad.
Tonight, the case of the hot car killer. Another counter-spy report to the American people. Brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday by Pepsi-Cola.
Pepsi-Cola hits a spot. Two full glasses, that's a lot.
That's right, you heard what they said. Two full glasses of sparkling Pepsi from one big 12-ounce bottle. You're getting an extra glassful. And what a delicious glassful. The most refreshing, delightful cola that ever tickled your taste. You can't top Pepsi's tangy flavor. And that big, big bottle saves you money, goes twice as far. Pepsi's America's big, big favorite. And America's biggest cola value. So why take less when Pepsi's best? Whenever you reach for refreshment, remember.
Why take less when Pepsi's best?
And now to Counter Spy. A bright, brisk fall afternoon. Around the dirt track roar a dozen low-slung racing cars. Sudden death, an added passenger in every one. Axles brush on the straightaways. Tires scream as they skid on turns, then straighten out again. A man wearing the armband of an official of the track runs to the pit of car number 18.
Hey, you!
Yeah?
Are you the mechanic of car 18, driver Joe Stacy?
What's the matter?
This is an official order. Flag him down.
Pull him out. He's like the wave.
I said stop him. Now, he's just coming in the straightway. Here's your flag. Use it.
Okay. Here he comes.
See, I didn't hold me in.
Stacy, this track will not tolerate dangerous, irresponsible drivers like you. We are hereby permitting you to finish this race. And we're going to see to it that you're barred from every other track in the country. Now get yourself and your car out of here in a hurry.
Holy smoke, Joe. What are you going to do now?
It's no problem, Mitch. Back in New York, my future's all taken care of. I got a wonderful, beautiful connection there. With red hair.
Hello?
Hello, honey. Joe Stacy. I'm calling you from Chicago.
Joe, darling, as if I didn't know. You coming to New York?
I gotta, Laura. I've been bounced off the tracks for good.
Oh, Joe.
After I take a good long look at you, I'm gonna need eating money. You got any ideas?
Sure, Joe. I'm a business career woman now.
What?
I'm a secretary. Private secretary to a corporation. A corporation is 5'8", 150 pounds with gray hair and a big fat bank account.
Well, how do I fit in?
Leave that to me, Joe. I'll get you a job with my corporation. I'm going over to his apartment now. Joe, it's a penthouse with overstuffed chairs, soft as marshmallows, and a view of New York. There's only one real trouble with the job. He keeps playing a certain phonograph record again and again and again.
Laura, you've been staring out of that window for an hour.
The view always fascinates me, Mr. Brewster.
Maybe you'd rather be down there among those lights with some younger man. Like the one you asked me to hire?
I'm your secretary, Mr. Brewster. Besides, young men bore me. To be with or to work for.
Well, how lucky for me. I should hate losing you as a secretary.
You will, Mr. Brewster, if you don't stop that phonograph sometime.
Very well. I play that music constantly, Laura, because the orchestra was playing it the night you and I first met. Haven't you any such memories? With Joe Stacy, for instance?
I live in the present, not the past. Mr. Brewster, the warning buzzer. Someone's coming up in the elevator.
Suppose you let them up for me just this once, huh?
I don't know how.
On my desk there.
Yes?
The first button is the intercom to the elevator. Press it. That stops the warning buzzer. Now you can talk to whoever's in the elevator while it's held on the floor below. That intercom box on the left.
Yes. Yes? Who is it?
George Lesage. Mr. Brewster's expecting me.
Oh, yes, Lesage. We're bringing you up. Now what, Mr. Brewster?
The button on the right starts the elevator again to bring him here to the top floor.
I see. Why is that... a junk dealer coming here?
Because he and I have a little surprise for you. Come in, Lesage.
Evening, Mr. Brewster. Hello, Miss Montpere.
Hello.
I brought the latest batch of papers for you, Mr. Brewster.
All in good order?
Yep, ownership papers of 6 total wrecks I bought in from my junkyard. 2 Buicks, a Chevy, a Ford, 2 Pontiacs, all from the West.
Well, all plentiful models and relatively easy to steal. Fine.
As soon as the cars come in, I can turn them over to you and your used car salesman. Say in a week, huh?
Mr. Brewster, I think it's dangerous to mix all those stolen cars with your ordinary used cars in your sales room.
Hey, that's the laugh, Miss Montpere. The smartest cover-up that was ever in this racket. Hot cars cooled off. Okay, Mr. Brewster, that cleans me up here. I'm on my way.
Lesage. Instead of your going to the ferry now, you go to your garage and wait there. I'll keep that appointment.
Ah, okay.
Laura, the elevator release button, please.
Good night, Miss Montpere.
Good night.
Good night.
Mr. Brewster, you didn't tell me the surprise you and Lesage had for me.
I've decided to take your childhood friend, Joe Stacy, into my organization. Bring in stolen cars from other cities.
Oh. Oh, then he's the one who's coming in on the ferry. And instead of Lesage, you're going to meet him yourself, is that it?
I'm curious about him, Lauren. An old friend who so fortunately turned out to be an expert car thief and driver. Now tell me, what's the quickest way for me to get to that ferry?
Mister, you got a light?
I think so. Stacy?
Yeah, Lesage?
No. I'm Andrew Brewster.
The boss himself, huh?
You the car?
Second in line.
You were instructed to be first.
A truck cut out in front of me.
I thought you were a former racing driver.
Lay off, Brewster.
Oh, yes. Laura Montclair said you were touchy about having been ruled off the track.
Well, I am.
You'll find we'll get along if you carry out instructions, Stacy.
And if you don't shoot your mouth off.
When you leave the ferry, drive to the garage at 816 East 28th Street. Pick up Lesage, proceed to his junkyard in New Jersey.
Okay. What's Lesage look like?
Oh, about your height.
with an untidy black mustache.
When do I see you again, Brewster?
This will be our only meeting.
Why this one?
Laura talks so highly of you. I wonder why.
Curious, Brewster? Or jealous?
As you so picturesquely put it, Stacy, lay off. I'm a trifle touchy myself. Goodbye, Stacy.
Hello?
It's Montclair. The Sage talking. Give me Brewster.
He hasn't returned from his ferry trip.
Listen, I went back to my garage like Brewster told me and found my assistant hired a new guy, and I spotted him for a cop.
What?
I cleared out to make this call. The cop is there now, and you gotta head Joe Stacy off. Can you do it?
No, I can't. It's too late. He must be at the garage right now.
You, Lesage?
Yeah. Come on out of that car. Come on.
There's your mustache, Lesage.
Never mind that. Come out.
Not a chance, copper. This is for you.
To Harry Peters. Meet me at airport in exactly half an hour. We're flying to New York. Peters, you saw the message about the murder of Detective Jerry Winters.
Yes, Dave, but I didn't know what to make of it.
Read this letter, Peters. Winters' division chief, teletyped it in.
Dear Chief, I'm scribbling this in a hurry in a cheap boarding house since I may not get a chance to write again. I've made a connection that may get me a job in a garage that's a transfer point for that interstate stolen car racket we're investigating with the counter spies. I'll know details tonight and we'll report. Signed, Jerry Winters. When'd you get this, Dave?
This morning, right after the notice from New York of his murder. He must have gotten the job.
Then been covered so closely, he couldn't even make a phone call.
Yeah. The New York police are covering every angle they can hit. The first thing we'll do is fine-tooth comb that garage.
I've been interviewing all the employees of this garage. They all swear that if there was anything crooked going on here, they didn't know a thing about it.
How about the owner?
His name is George Lesage, but they say they rarely see him, and nobody knows where he might be right now. How are you making out?
Well, I've been working with the examination crew. Take a look at this concrete pillar, Peter.
Some concrete gouged out about 2 feet up from the floor. Looks as if a car cracked into it.
Yes, and one of the employees I talked to earlier said it must have happened during the night.
And how does that help us?
Well, take a look at it through this pocket magnifier.
Flecks of paint. 2 colors.
Benson of the examination crew says some of the flecks are of brown paint over a year old.
And these other flecks of light blue paint with a top coat, a freshly repainted car.
And that's one of the first steps of an efficient hot car outfit, Peters, to give the stolen cars a quick repaint. Somewhere there's a car with a dented fender, brown paint underneath, blue paint over it. I want to put out a fast bulletin and find that car.
I'm waiting for you and Lesage to tell me how you're going to help Joe Stacy.
Miss Montclair, Stacy's safe in my junkyard over in Jersey.
Besides Laura, he sounds like a man who helps himself.
I introduced him to you, Mr. Brewster. He killed a detective to protect your racket. You've got to help him.
On his account?
On yours. And mine.
I wonder if I can afford to have a cop killer in my organization.
What are you getting at?
Lesage. Remember what happened to Whitey? Driving along a mountain road, his car went over the side of a cliff. Accidentally. Laura.
I won't help you, Mr. Brewster.
Laura, my dear, Stacy knows and trusts you. You're going to invite him for a ride with Lesage tomorrow. You brought him into our organization. It's only fitting that you help him leave it.
Mountain roads are tricky.
Quit worrying, Lesage.
But you had a few drinks.
Just like I can drive with my eyes shut.
Maybe, Joe, but I wouldn't like to be with you when you try it. Why don't we pull over for a while?
Anything you say, baby.
What a wonderful view. Doesn't that train look small from up here? Like a toy.
You know, a guy could go over this cliff easy in a car. That wooden rail wouldn't hold a weak flea.
You're some kidder, Joe.
Put up your hands, Lesage.
What is this?
It means you're going to have the accident that you and Brewster cooked up for me.
Laura, you're double-crossing Brewster and he's stuck on you.
I'm not stuck on him, Lesage. I take his nonsense now so I can take a lot of his money later. All right, Joe.
Listen, give me a chance. Give me a break.
Give it to him, Joe.
No.
Quick, Joe. Put your identification papers in his pocket.
Okay, baby.
Be sure you get everything that identifies him as George Lesage.
Papers. Wristwatch. Wallet. Picture of a kid.
Never mind that. Pour the whiskey over his clothes.
Smell like a saloon.
Hurry, he's coming too. Start the engine. Can you get the car over the cliff alone? I don't want my fingerprints on it.
What about mine?
The more prints there are of you, the surer the police will be it was you that crashed.
Okay, baby, now you get out.
Be careful, Joe.
I'll start her into a skid. I'm good at that. Then jump.
Keep that door open.
Right.
Hurry before another car comes along.
Take it easy, baby.
Jump, Joe!
Coming. There she goes.
In just a moment, we'll return to Counter Spy, brought to you by Pepsi-Cola.
Pepsi-Cola hits a spot. Two full glasses, that's a lot. Lots more value, lots more zest. Why take less when Pepsi's best?
More and more, among fellows and girls, among mothers and dads, you hear that sane and sensible question. Why take less when Pepsi's best? No budget, no allowance ever had a better friend than tangy, sparkling Pepsi-Cola. Because one big 12-ounce Pepsi bottle gives you two delicious drinks. That's twice as much tangy taste. Twice as much delicious Pepsi to go just twice as far. That's why more and more families say, why take less when Pepsi's best? Yes, families like yours and mine. Families all over America. They're all saying, why take less when Pepsi is best?
Pepsi-Cola hits a spot, tastes terrific when you're hot, more and better than the rest. Why take less when Pepsi's best?
Today, tomorrow, always. Get America's biggest cola value. take home a carton of six big, big Pepsi bottles. Insist on Pepsi at the store and say Pepsi at the fountain. Say Pepsi at the stand. Say Pepsi. Whenever you reach for refreshment, remember,
why take less when Pepsi's best?
Now, back to Counter Spy.
Routine report to Statistical Department, Washington. Received from State Police, New Jersey at Counter Spy, New York field office. Fatal car crash off Highway 6A. Car identified as having been stolen 4 days ago in Baltimore, Maryland. Relay this bulletin to David Harding, now in New York.
File copy of instructions. Harding to Peters. Check on that stolen car in Highway 6A accident.
Peters reporting to Harding. Wreck almost complete, but left fender shows dent corresponding to gash from concrete pillar in Lesage garage. Undercoat of paint brown. Outer coat blue. Victim tentatively identified from fingerprints on car and papers as one Joe Stacy. Fingerprints forwarded to Washington.
Interested in the bright lights down there, Laura?
There's a ghost dancing among them now, Mr. Brewster.
I know it was difficult for you, Laura. But it was Stacy or me. I had no choice.
Neither did I. As you've so often said yourself, we're in a tough racket, aren't we?
Dave, Washington reported yet on Joe Stacy?
Yes, but the fingerprints on the body in that smashed car were not those of Joe Stacy.
Who then?
George Lesage.
Lesage? Well, that's the man we were looking for. He owned the garage where Detective Winters was murdered.
That's right, murdered by Joe Stacy.
Stacy, how do you figure?
Well, somebody took a great deal of trouble to make us think Stacy was dead, and that would suit Stacy very well. Besides, look at his record.
Racing driver ruled off the tracks for dangerous and crooked driving. Hold-up charge, suspended sentence, assaulting an officer, 30 days. A bad boy.
Yes, but it's hardly probable a hothead like Stacy is the boss of the entire racket. Nor that Lesage was. We're looking for the top man, Peters. And Stacy might lead you to him.
Lead me to him?
You're going undercover, Peters, to locate Stacy. Then we can set a trap.
Joe, I'm worried.
Well, what about, baby?
I don't think it's safe for us to meet in such a public place.
I got this tablet in my pocket. Besides, this new mustache is sprouting. And the papers are full of pictures of the wreck. I got killed 2 days ago, remember?
Joe Brewster will be wanting to see Lesage soon, and then there are the other men.
Hey, Bud.
Yeah, Marty.
Pete Williams in the back room. He says you expect him.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Marty.
Joe. Who's Pete Williams?
Oh, he's a guy I met last night right here. At the bar, he starts shooting off his mouth about racing drivers. He got into a little argument. It turns out to be an all right guy. He's in the same racket.
You sure he's all right?
Yeah, he knows a lot of the same people I do out in KC. You go on over to Bruce's apartment, baby. I'll call you later, huh?
Okay. So long, honey.
Pete, what goes?
I got a tip for a guy.
What guy?
A guy named Joe Stacy.
Joe Stacy's dead. I read it in the papers.
If he isn't already, maybe he's gonna be.
What's the tip?
The finger's getting put on him.
By?
His boss.
For what?
tip I got says the boss already figured out it wasn't Joe Stacy in that wreck, but a bird named George Lesage. He figures it was Stacy that did it.
How do you know?
That boss has been trying to contact a couple of trigger men from Chicago.
Why are you telling me?
I hate hot tips to go to waste.
Where can I reach you later? See you in about an hour.
Tell me where you want me to be.
What's the matter with here?
What will you do, phone me?
I'll come back and get you. Keep sober, Pete.
Sure.
Hello?
Hello, honey, it's Joe. Listen, you were right to be leery of that guy Pete Williams who tried to caper on me.
What caper?
Well, he tells me Bruce the court onto the wreck business. He's out hiring guys to take care of me. What a jerk, huh?
Jerk? How do you figure?
Well, honey, if Bruce had caught on already, you'd know about it, wouldn't you? Well, wouldn't you?
I've been thinking, Joe. I've got a scheme for us to get rid of Brewster, get some dough, and take care of your friend Pete. Tonight, all at once.
Dave, Peters, I've landed Stacy.
Good work. Did he reveal who the boss is?
No, but he's pulling me in on his scheme of revenge on the boss. We're going to hold him up. Then Stacy plans to kill him.
Well, I'll be close behind you with one of our mobile squads. We'll break it up in time.
Well, it may not be easy, Dave. The boss lives in a penthouse and has some tricky system to control the elevator. Stacy's girlfriend is going to double-cross the boss and let us in.
Then you'll have to find some way of letting us in. When's the job set for?
11 o'clock tonight.
What time was that, Mr. Brewster?
11. You seem restless, Laura. Bored with your job?
Mr. Brewster, believe me, I was never less bored with it.
Someone's in the elevator. I'm not expecting anyone. I'll find out who it is.
Brewster, stay away from that intercom.
Laura, what's the meaning of that gun?
Push the power button.
Laura...
Push that power button.
As you say.
Sit down by the desk.
Laura, what is the meaning of this?
Shut up!
Hello, Brewster.
Stacy.
In the flesh.
I thought you were dead. Laura told me...
Cut the act, Brewster. I know about the hood you were trying to get to rub me out.
Rub you out? I tell you, I thought you were dead.
You're lying, Brewster.
Stacy, who is this other man?
Pete Williams. The guy who put the finger on you for putting the finger on me.
Now, this man is tricking you, I swear.
Listen, Brewster.
Wait. Maybe Brewster's telling the truth. Maybe Pete is. That's what we're going to find out. Meantime, I'm holding the gun. Pete.
Yeah?
In the right-hand drawer of the desk, the combination of the safe.
Okay.
Safe?
Yeah, Brewster, we're taking a little trip. Just staying here.
Laura, you can't leave me for this cheap thug.
Quiet.
Laura, here's the combination.
Take it, Joe. Open the safe.
Where is it?
Behind that picture over there on the wall.
Okay.
Now I can turn that music off for good.
Laura, what's that?
The buzzer. Someone's in the elevator.
Look out! Bruce is going for the buzzer.
Pete, I gotta shoot. Get out of the way.
I'll get him.
Too late. He's pushed it. The elevator's coming up.
Laura, how do we get out?
Back exit to the roof. Come on, Pete, you too.
Now, don't be suckers and run. How do you know who it is?
What?
He's right, Joe. We'll play innocent. Whoever it is, we invite him. Then we put him to sleep.
Good girl.
Put away your gun, Laura.
Yeah. You, Joe, get by the elevator.
Right. Now hold everything.
There's nobody in the elevator.
It's a trick.
Hold everything, all of you. Counter spies. Don't move or we shoot.
What?
All right, boys. Cover every door and window. Up here, boys. You all right, Peter?
Yes, Mr. Harding. But I wish I'd known you were coming in from the terrace.
Looks like a good haul you made.
This is Joe Stacy, murderer. About ready to have a stroke.
You lousy chick.
Joe, shut up.
And this, I take it, is the girlfriend.
Not yours, copper. take your hands off me.
Gladly, after I get these handcuffs on you. And here, out cold, behind the desk, Mr. Harding, the big fish. Andrew Brewster. Used car dealer and hot car racketeer.
Peters, he looks so peaceful, I almost hate to wake him up and give him all the bad news he's got coming to him. But on second thought, I think it'll be a real pleasure. Let's get to it, Peters.
When your friends drop in, be generous, but be thrifty, too. Serve plenty of delicious Pepsi-Cola. Pepsi's big 12-ounce bottle gives you not just one sparkling glassful, but two. Get a carton of six and serve 12 delicious drinks. Yes, Pepsi is America's biggest cola value. You get twice the tangy taste, twice the refreshment, twice the Pepsi. So why take less when Pepsi's best? Whenever you reach for refreshment, remember,
Pepsi-Cola hits the spot. Two full glasses, that's a lot. Lot more value, lot more zest. Why take less when Pepsi's best?
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, same station, to Counter Spy. Listen next Tuesday for the exciting Counter Spy case of the Postal Pirates.
The little black box that caught the revolver in midair. The one-fingered typist who punctuated sentences with bullets. And the double-crosser who tasted her own medicine and died as a result.
Case of the Postal Pirates on Counter Spy. Tonight's Counter Spy program originated in New York, was directed by William M. Sweets, and featured Don McLaughlin and Mandel Kramer, with music by Jesse Crawford. Counter Spy is a Phillips H. Lord production for Pepsi-Cola. Enjoy some Pepsi ice cold tonight.
On those hot summer days, there's no place else like a tavern to get a nice cold beer and a little comedy, in this case, Duffy's Tavern. And we'll listen to Archie the Hypnotist.
It's Duffy's Tavern, the Friday night transcribed feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by the makers of Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, neuralgia. By RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. And by Chesterfield, the cigarette that has for you mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. The cigarette that brings you Bing Crosby and Bob Hope. And now, here we go, friends, to Duffy's Tavern with Arthur Treacher, Burt Gordon as the Mad Russian, Martha Sleeper, Hazel Sherman as Miss Duffy, and starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner.
Hello? Duffy's Beverage Emporium. Where the elite foregather to sup. Feature the maitre d' speaking. Duffy is not in the vicinity. Oh, hello, Mr. Duffy. Beg pardon? What am I doing here? I'm here on the recommendation of my psychiatrist. Well, I've always been a butler in the movies, and he thought I needed a change of atmosphere. So instead of being a gentleman's gentleman, I am now a bum's bum. Yes, that is correct. Where's Archie? Well, he's very busily occupied at the moment. What? Oh, very well. I'll wake him up.
Don't be a wise guy, Treacher. Give me that phone. Hello, Duffy. Huh? How come Treacher's working here? Well, I figured we could use a tall waiter, you know, who could hold the tray high enough so the customers can't see what they're eating before it explodes in their stomachs. How come a new waiter? Well, I had to let Yasha Panyaslavnik go. I caught the crook stealing from the cash register. I do it all the time. I know, but with me it's different. I'm an old, faithful, trusted employee. Well, I think Treacher will work out great. Well, look, Duffy, I'll call you back. I gotta get back to sleep. I mean, to work.
I beg your pardon, sir.
What is it, Treacher?
Well, I hate to bother you, but a rather sticky little problem has come up.
Oh, is that so? What?
Well, there seems to be a corpse in the corner booth.
How do you like that? Now, who'd bring a corpse in here?
But he wasn't a corpse when he came in.
Oh. Well, tell me, what did he look like?
Oh, a pleasant chap. I shall never forget his last words.
What were they?
Bring me the 25-cent blue plate.
Preacher, you sure about this whole thing? Did you feel the guy's pulse?
Why?
Well, maybe he ain't dead. Maybe he just ain't used to strong food.
You mean he'll live?
Well, most of them do. It's the 15-cent blue plate that has us worried. Tell you what, just wait a minute and see if he falls on the floor in a convulsion. If he does, you'll know he's all right.
I see. And what should we do about the check?
Well, at Duffy's, we always give the customer a sporting chance.
A sporting chance?
Yeah, well, watch which way he falls, see? If he lands face up, he pays. If it's tails, it's on the house.
Say, Archie.
Yes, Miss Duffy.
Say, Archie, how'd you like the show at the Bijou last night?
Oh, it was great, but how'd you know I was there?
I knew it as soon as the girls came out on stage wearing nothing but pigeons.
What do you mean? How'd you know that?
Who else but you would be throwing breadcrumbs in the aisle?
So what? I'm a bird lover. Funny, though, I didn't see you.
Oh, I was in the balcony with my boyfriend.
Oh, did you enjoy the performance?
I'll say. I had to slap his face 3 times.
I was referring to the performance on the stage. Devoidable, you know. Incidentally, what did you think of that Professor Zodiac, that hypnotist?
Oh, those hypnotists, they're all fake.
I agree with you, Miss Duffy.
When was you ever hypnotized?
Oh, at the Palladium in London.
What happened?
Well, this hypnotist called me up on the stage, waved his hands in my face, looked me in the eye, and told me that when I woke up, I wouldn't know what time it was. And by Jove, the chap was right.
What do you mean?
Well, when I got back to my seat, my watch was missing.
Well, this guy last night was much more legitimate. You should have seen him, you see. He gets a guy up on a stage and just by occult hypnotism, he forces the guy to make violent love to a dame.
What's so wonderful about that?
It was the guy's own wife. So, to make a long story short, I invited the hypnotist down here tonight for some instructions. And after a couple of lessons, I won't have no more trouble with dames.
You mean your trouble getting one?
No, me trouble getting the one I got.
Which one is that? Chiquita Simple Bopper?
No, not her.
Lana Quatfazel?
Miss Duffy, how many times do I have to tell you Lana Quatfazel is engaged to Cadwallader the Gretenstunker the Third?
Well, let me see. Could it be Katrinka Yarbach?
No.
Natasha Domjanovic?
No. This one's a foreigner. Oh. It's my little French filly, Rene, you know. She don't seem to love me like she used to.
What makes you think so?
Well, she's been dropping a few veiled hints lately.
Veiled hints?
Yeah, little things, you know, like slamming a door in me face. Hanging up the phone on me and getting engaged to other guys. Nothing one could put their finger on. But with hypnotism, that'll all be changed. I'll wave me magic wand 3 times and she'll be Mrs. Archie.
But my dear chap, what will happen if she ever wakes up?
Well, so what? You think she's going to divorce a guy with a mansion and a swimming pool and a yacht?
Hold on, old chap. You're going to buy a mansion, a swimming pool and a yacht on $15 a week?
Yeah.
How?
Simple. I'll give up smoking. Now, if you'll excuse me a minute, I'd like to study this booklet here. Let's see now. Zodiac the Great, Master of Hypnotism, Reader of Men's Minds, the World's Greatest Intellect.
How do you do?
Mad Russian. Look, Russian. What are you doing here?
Professor Zodiac is sending me. I am his new assistant.
What do you know about hypnotism?
You ask me what I know about hypnotism? Me, a man who for 20 years has looked into the eyes of Eddie Kemper?
But how did you get with Professor Zodiac?
The professor is noticing that I, too, have a hypnotic eye.
You?
Most of course. In fact, as I am coming into this world as a baby, immediately I am putting my doctor into a deep trance.
You put your doctor into a deep trance?
This was making medical history.
How come?
Before the doctor is slapping me, I am slapping him first.
Well, it serves him right for bringing you into the world. So you're Professor Zodiac's new assistant, huh?
What you might call his right foot.
You mean his right hand?
No, his right foot. When he is putting people to sleep, I am kicking them to wake them up.
And this makes you a hypnotist, huh?
This plus other things.
What other things?
Like I am hypnotizing my grandmother into thinking she's a horse.
Really? Is it a success?
Only to an extent.
What do you mean?
She came in next to last in the Kentucky Derby.
She came in next to last. Who ran last?
My grandfather, you see. My grandfather. He's chasing my grandmother like mad.
Oh. How come?
As a horse, she was very beautiful.
So you're Professor Zodiac's assistant, huh?
Yes, I am known as the human sleeping pill.
I'll tell you, I was thinking of taking some lessons, and I wanted to ask Professor Zodiac a couple of questions, but maybe you can help me.
Okie dokie, that'll do.
Well, what will you charge me?
For $50, I will answer 3 questions.
Well, ain't that a lot of money?
Yes, it is. You now have 2 questions left.
Look, Russian, all I want to find out is what you have to do to hypnotize a beautiful dame.
What about the $50?
I ain't got $50.
How much you got?
5.
Mm-hmm. In that case, this little book will answer the questions. So please, you are giving me the $5?
Now, just a minute, Russian. I wasn't born yesterday. I'll give you $3.
What? You are daring to insult me with a mere $3? $3 for the inscrutable wisdom of the East?
I'm sorry.
Make it 4.
Just a minute. I want to see that book first. Let's see here. A scientific approach to hypnosis, mesmerism, and advanced tea leaf reading in Technicolor. Tea leaf reading in Technicolor?
We are using Irish Pico.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. Here's a buck for the deposit. I'll pay you the rest later.
What? You are daring to insult me with a mere $1 for the inscrutable wisdom of the East?
Take it or leave it.
You have bought yourself a book.
Oh, boy. With this book, I'll be lousy with inscrutable wisdom. I can make any dame I want fall for me.
Archie, you think if I use the book, I could make fellas fall for me?
Look, after all, Miss Duffy, this is hypnotism, not magic.
Hey, very funny.
Wait a minute, give me that phone.
What are you going to do?
Call up that little French filly, Rennie. With this book, she'll find out she's dealing with a new Archie. Hello? I'd like to speak to Rennie, please. Who's calling? Tell her Maurice. Maurice Chevalier. Hello. Hello, Rennie? This is Archie. Now, don't hang up. Well, wait till I tell you about the diamond bracelet. The diamond bracelet. Well, honey, I got a real big surprise for you. You'll be right down? Good.
Archie, you haven't got a diamond bracelet.
That's the surprise.
How do you like...
Yes, sir, I was right. One lesson in hypnotism and already she's on her way down.
Every day, you hear more and more about an incredibly fast way to relieve the pains of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. It's Anacin, A-N-A-C-I-N. Now, the reason Anacin is so wonderfully fast-acting and effective is this. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven, active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. Thousands of people have received envelopes containing Anacin tablets from their own dentist or physician, and in this way, discovered the incredibly fast relief Anacin brings from pains of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. So, the next time a headache strikes, take Anacin. A-N-A-C-I-N. Anacin, in handy boxes of 12 and 30, economical family-sized bottles of 50 and 100. Ask for Anacin at any drug counter.
Now, let me see here. Chapter 9, how to hypnotize friends and put people under the influence. It is best to hypnotize subjects who have minds that are weaker than yours.
I say, old boy, won't you have trouble finding subjects?
Preacher, stop interrupting. Now, let's see. Hypnotism is practiced in India by the street fakers, who charm snakes with their flutes.
Oh, I say, that sounds jolly. Why don't you try that?
Where am I going to get a snake and a flute?
Why don't you start out in a small way, with a worm and a piccolo?
Everybody's a wise guy.
I say, old chap, you don't really believe that reading that book for a few minutes will make you an expert, do you? After all, you know, hypnotism is a complicated science.
So what? Electricity is a science, ain't it?
Yes.
How long does a guy have to sit in the electric chair to see how it works? Now, let me see. First, I look Rennie in the eye.
Say, Archie.
Oh, hello, Russian. What can I do for you?
You can give me the other $2 that you owe me.
Looks like I'll have to use this hypnotism sooner than I thought. Now, look, Russian, before I give you the $2, I got to see if this stuff works. Now, let me try it on you.
Okay.
Now, close your eyes.
Okay, I close my eyes.
Now, look me in the eye.
Say, this is a good trick.
Please, relax.
Okay, I'm relaxed.
Now, once again, look me in the eye.
Which one?
What's the difference? The left one.
But the right one is so much prettier.
Okay, then look me in the right eye.
Now the left one looks prettier.
Is he in a trance yet, Archie?
With him, it's hard to tell.
Now, please, I'm a busy man. Give me the $2.
Not till I learn how this thing works.
Okay, I'll come back in 15 minutes.
All right, that's fair enough. In the meantime, I'll practice on somebody else. Now, let's see. Another effective method in hypnotism is to move a bright, shiny object before the subject's eyes. Let's see, what have I got around here that's bright and shiny?
Why don't you just bend over in that blue serge suit and sway back and forth?
Wouldn't be scientific. Oh, Treacher, have you got a half a buck on you?
Yes.
Let me have it for a second.
Here you are.
Thanks. Now, I wave it in front of your eyes. Arthur Treacher, you are under a spell.
He must be if he gave you a half a dollar.
Quiet, Miss Duffy. Now concentrate, Treacher. Keep staring at this 50-cent piece. You're getting sleepy. Very sleepy. Your eyes are closing.
They are, eh? Just try putting those 2 shillings in your pocket.
Go along with me. Now, I'm gonna make you bark like a dog. Now, repeat after me. I am completely in your power.
You are completely in my power.
No, teacher. I am completely in your power.
Very well, then you bark like a dog.
Look, please, try to concentrate. Now, Arthur Treacher, repeat after me. I am in your power.
I am in your power.
It's working. I am your master.
You are my master.
My will is stronger than yours.
Your will is stronger than mine.
Hey, what's going on here?
Shh, quiet. I'm getting hypnotized.
Preacher, please. Before I pay the $2, I gotta see if this thing works. Now concentrate.
Look me in the eye. Arthur Treacher, you are a giraffe.
I am a giraffe.
Now speak to me.
Hello down there.
Archie, is it working?
Yeah, the guy really thinks he's a giraffe.
Good, maybe we can get him to eat those cobwebs off the ceiling.
Quiet, Miss Duffy. Okay, Treacher, are you still in a trance?
Yes, Master.
That's all I want to know. Okay, I'll snap you out of it. Abracadabra.
Where am I?
You're in Duffy's Tavern.
Make me a giraffe again.
Here's a word from RCA Victor. You know, when spring puts in its appearance, the ladies always seem to catch the men off guard. They've been busy for weeks planning their spring wardrobe, studying the new styles. And this year, there's one style everyone will want to study. It's the better-looking in every way style of RCA Victor's magnificent new 17-inch television receiver, the Fairfield. With the Fairfield, you'll get television pictures which are exceptionally clear, bright, and steady. And you'll have RCA Victor's new picture pickup, which assures you of the best possible reception. If you've been looking for a television set that's going to look well in your home, here's your answer. The Fairfield console cabinet is truly distinctive, and its beautiful doors close over the screen when your set's not in use. Go see your RCA Victor dealer. He'll be glad to show you the better-looking Fairfield.
Archie, why don't you cut out all this nonsense with the hypnotism?
Nonsense, now, where do you see how it works on Rennie? Hey, wait a minute, here she comes now. Well, Rennie...
Bonsoir, Archie.
Bonsoir to you, my little pulley pop pie. Hey, that's some dress you're wearing.
Oh, it's just a little something I threw on.
Looks like you missed. First time I ever seen a backless dress worn backwards.
Now, please, Archie, let's get down to business.
Business? I don't know what you mean, mon petit patoute.
What about the bracelet?
The bracelet? What bracelet?
The diamond bracelet you promised me on the telephone.
Oh, that diamond bracelet. Oh, yeah, the jeweler has been a little, dilatory in delivering it. I'll call him up and see what happened. Hello, Cartier's. High-priced diamond department, please. Yeah, the one without the flaws. Hello? Hello? Oh, tell me, sir, is this the gentleman that sold me the $10,000 bracelet? It is? Well, this is Archie of Duffy's Tavern. And I'd like you to know, sir, that the bracelet ain't been delivered yet. Oh, I see. Uh-huh. Well, them things will occur, thank you.
What happened?
Their truck broke down.
Truck broke down.
Yeah.
Archie, you have lied to me. This is the last time.
Wait.
I will have...
Rennie, look into my eyes. Now concentrate.
Why?
You'll find out in a second. Now, I stare into your eyes. I'm going to take you to dreamland.
Oh, please, not another one of those cheap dance halls.
Quiet, you're being hypnotized. Now, follow the moving finger.
The way you're looking at me, I'd better.
Rennie, concentrate. Look me in the eye.
Archie, I feel very strange. I feel a spell coming over me.
Oh, boy, it's working.
I will be anything you want me to be. I will do anything you say.
I say, old boy, this is your big opportunity.
Huh?
Make her a giraffe.
Preacher, that is not exactly what I had in mind. Now, Rennie, concentrate. You are about to become my bride.
Your bride? But who are you, strange ones?
Strange one, hey. That gives me an idea.
Yeah, if she thinks you're a stranger, maybe you got a chance.
Quiet. Repeat them last words, Renee.
Who are you, strange ones?
I am Charles Boyer.
Charles Boyer?
Oui, better known as Pepsi La Cola. Come, Rene. Come with me to the Catskills.
Oh, Charles. Kiss me. Kiss me.
What a racket that boy is.
Charles, speak to me. Charles, how romantic you are.
Oh, I say, Charles, should I fetch the bicarbonate?
Peaches, stop trying to break the spell. Now, now what was I saying, Renee? Yes.
Oh, Charles, put your arms around my waist and hold me tight. Press me close to you. Closer. Closer.
I'll murder the first guy that snaps his fingers. Now repeat after me, Renee. I will marry you.
I will marry you as soon as I get the diamond bracelet.
Lenny, you mean to tell me that you was awake all the time?
And so ends another trance in the life of Archie the hypnotist.
That lousy Russian, if I can only put my hands on him.
Well, here he comes now.
Oh, wait. Look, you phony hypnotist, give me back that buck. I just tried some of that crummy hypnotosisism on this girl here and it don't work.
Archie. This man is a hypnotist?
Vive la France!
Oh, il est très gentil.
You are speaking to me.
Yes. I say that you are very cute.
Don't say that.
But you are cute.
I know, but don't say that. Tell me, my little French poodle. Would you like me to throw a trance at you?
It is not necessary, monsieur. I am already under your spell.
That's funny. I must have studied the wrong chapter.
And now, monsieur, you close your eyes.
With pleasure.
Now repeat after me.
Okay.
I will buy you a diamond bracelet.
I will buy you a diamond bracelet.
I will take you dancing at El Morocco.
I will take you dancing at El Morocco.
Then let's go.
After you, my little onion.
Good night, Archie.
Good night. How do you like that? A Russian is supposed to be the hypnotist, and the dame puts the spell on him. What a jerk.
Hey, wait a minute.
Where does this leave me? I give the guy a buck and he winds up with my dame.
I say, old chap, repeat after me. I am a jerk.
You are a jerk.
No, you are a jerk.
Sometimes when Bing Crosby and Bob Hope get together, they don't make sense at all, but sometimes they do. For instance, get a load of this.
Now here's Chesterfield's answer to Cyrano de Bergerac, Bob Hope.
I'd top you easy, Dad, but we only have a minute here to sell Chesterfield.
Okay, well, let's get to it.
Better tasting Chesterfield is the only cigarette that combines for you mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste.
The mildness is a cinch to prove. You just make the Chesterfield mildness test. You know, open a pack and enjoy that milder aroma. Then smoke them, and you'll know that Chesterfields are mild.
And Chesterfield leaves no unpleasant aftertaste. That fact has been confirmed by the country's first and only cigarette taste panel.
So make our cigarette your cigarette. The reasons go together like this.
Chesterfield, Chesterfield always takes first place. That milder, mild tobacco never leaves an aftertaste. So open a pack, give them a smell, then you'll smoke them.
Listen again next week, friends, to Duffy's Tavern, the Friday night transcribed feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama. Brought to you by the makers of Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, neuralgia. By RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. And by Chesterfield, the cigarette that has for you mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. The best cigarette for you to smoke. Listen tomorrow evening for The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, the Saturday night feature of the All-Star Festival.
It's time to scoot for yet another week, but we'll be back next week, as always, with more great old-time radio, and I know you'll want to be here for that. So join me when we return with more.